It's Two Guys, One Podcast. We're not in the studio right now. You know the drill. We'll hit you back.
Hey, hello. Brian Harris, the Hitman. How are you doing? Just want to leave a quick message. We all know that's probably not going to happen, but I would like to leave it anyway. Congratulations on whatever it is you're doing. We appreciate it, and you're doing a good job. I would like to just tell you a quick your mama joke for the whole Mother's Day thing that is happening around the world, or just in our area. Anyway, your mama is so fat. She uses a wet freeway as a slip and slide. Have a good day.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother, can you keep them in the dark for a while? Can you have a proper wedding world? Oh, mother, mother, gonna take you down.
I like that intro, man. It's a little bit more edgy. It wasn't your personal riff, but we got a little dancing on.
We got a little dancing Mother. For Mother's Day, a little happy Mother's Day weekend.
To walk my way.
Glenn Tell and the boys.
Tell me what you say, Mother.
Yeah. You know, man, Danzig.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
I don't know if he's still making music. I mean, big inspiration for one of my favorite bands, Metallica. You know.
Is it a he?
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. Glenn Danzig.
Glenn?
You didn't listen to him? Yeah.
Are you sure?
Dude, he's from the Misfits. Then he formed Danzig.
You know what, man? When you put Glenn in front of it, it doesn't sound nearly as rock and roll.
Well,
it sounds more like
That's kind of why it does, right? Like a golfer out of Sweden.
Yeah.
And now we've got Glenn Danzig coming up here on the 12th hole. He's looking at a 450 par 4. He's breaking out the 3-wood.
Oh,
and there it goes.
There it goes. There it goes, ladies and gentlemen.
It's in the hole.
It's in the hole.
It's in the hole.
Oh, shit. So listen, man,
it's been a minute. I haven't talked to you. You know, usually you're the one that's really busy. I know that our listener doesn't really realize this, but I'm ready to podcast at the drop of a dime all the time. Drop your hat. I'm there with a fucking podcast ready to pick it up.
In the studio, don't you?
I'm usually wherever I am is a studio. Okay. That's what's great about the interweb.
Your life is a studio.
It is. It's 24/7. This is like the real world, baby. And I mean like the New York real world, the original one, okay? Not this real world fucking Detroit Rock City bullshit that they do nowadays. Usually you're the one that we're waiting on. This time it was all me. It was my bad. I've been kind of busy last couple weeks. And now I've come up for air today. And I've got stuff going on. It's Mother's Day weekend. It's a busy weekend. We also just came out of Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, I wanted to go there. Let's not skip over Cinco de Mayo,
yeah,
man. How was that for you?
It was great. You guys probably know, some of you might know, I do a little bit of the catering on the Mexican food side. Yeah, so.
Si, senor.
So it started with last Saturday. I attended a party last Saturday. Then we had another party on Sunday that we cooked for. Monday was a big day of shopping. Tuesday, a big day of prep. Wednesday, we catered lunch for 100 teachers for teacher appreciation, followed by dinner for the neighborhood, about another 11, 12 dozen orders of tacos, tortillas, that type of stuff. But, I mean, you know, and then, you know, yesterday was like recovery. Like, I actually sat in the couch till about 10 a.m. Then I cleaned up everything, and now we're just kind of hanging out here. I'm glad that you and I could hook up today.
Me too, man. Can I throw a couple?
Go ahead.
Jokes at you, yep. A couple, you know, Cinco de Mayo humor, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you can let me know right away if this is just incredibly offensive.
I will.
What do you call two Mexican guys playing basketball?
I don't know. What do you call them?
Juan on Juan.
Anything? Okay, what else?
Okay. When you were making tacos, did you make them for any Juan? Well, anything there?
Okay, keep going. I'm gonna rank these when you're done, by the way. Go ahead.
That's all I got, actually.
Oh, just two?
Just my two Juan jokes. Yeah.
Well, okay, I do like the one-on-one is pretty good. I don't think it's too offensive either.
Okay. Juan is a common name, right? It's not offensive.
Oh, it's a very common name. And then the second one just didn't really hit. I didn't like that one.
Well, that's kind of too similar to the first one, right?
I'm just more offended as someone who loves comedy versus I am as a Mexican American, so might want to work on that. Might want to dust that one off and take it for a spin.
So, yeah, the second one just kind of was too similar to the first, I think.
It just didn't land. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, I got one more.
Go ahead.
What do you do when you have some, like, miscellaneous chore at the house that you need done but you don't have time to do it?
I don't know. What do you do?
You call some Juan.
So now it's just kind of like more of the second joke, just kind of like refabricated. That's just like, that's the same joke, you know.
Well, I pivoted it a couple different ways, I think. Anyway, we move on. To talk to you. It's been a minute. As we did at the top of the last episode, which, by the way, got rave reviews. Right?
This notion that.
Where we introduced at the top of the show the topics we were going to go over for the day. I can't tell you how many emails, faxes, phone calls I got. Great idea, guys.
A lot of faxes?
Yeah, we got, not too much. We probably got about a couple dozen faxes. Yeah,
that's a lot of faxes. So you have a full-time fax machine that just sits there accepting facsimiles from all around the world. Is that true?
Duh.
Okay, so it's plugged in.
This is a real studio.
Wow, okay.
Of course we do. Of course we do. Come on, man.
I'm impressed.
So in the spirit of that, with that very positive feedback, and I said to you before we jumped on here, I was just going to spring a couple topics on you here, but I think we've got three to cover in addition to whatever you might have. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Topic number one, personal finances. And I've got some interesting dialogue to share with you on that.
Okay.
Number two, public bathroom. Got to take your pulse on something there. I know that's a cliffhanger. And number three, man.
Three.
We're celebrating Mother's Day here in a few days. So I think we should spend some time on the gentler gender today.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think whatever you got planned is a great idea. And I'm all
about
it.
You have anything to bring, or are you just kind of there to like take it as it comes?
I've got a lot. I have other things to bring. I just want to make sure that we have time. So I don't want to tease and not deliver. So let's go through your stuff, which is all very important. And we'll see where we are when we sit at the end of this episode.
Okay. Well, and then also, obviously, because it's a staple now, we got to get into fan mail.
There we go.
That's fan a full
mail.
Package.
You've got mail.
It's a full fan mail.
It's a large package.
That's a huge episode. Huge. Yeah.
Throbbing.
So let's get right into it, man. So starting on topic number one, which is personal finances, I've come to realize, Ron, get your opinion on this, right?
That go ahead.
Self-deprecation in terms of podcast, it hits the mark a lot better than, you know, no one wants to hear us come on here and talk about everything that's going great and how well we're doing. And so I take a beat from the episodes where we were talking about how I ballooned up to 238 pounds and everyone got a good laugh out of that. You know, the fact that I couldn't even dress up for Easter because I'm too fat to go to church, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Right.
Yeah, it was great.
So in the spirit of that, I wanted to unpack a little bit about personal finances.
Okay. Here we go.
With you.
Here we go.
Now I'll preface this by saying, Ron, that you know, I'm in my mid-40s here. I've been in the same line of work for many years. And as anyone would expect that's been churning through the same profession for as many years as I have, I've landed in a place where I make a comfortable living.
And can I ask you a question?
Please.
We've been friends for how many years? Like 30?
I was going to say 6 months. Oh, sorry. Yeah, 30 years. Yeah.
Something like that. Can you tell me exactly, what is it that you do for a living?
You've been to the fair, right?
I've been to several fairs, yes.
Okay. You know the guess your weight guy?
Yeah.
No, that's not it. I'm in marketing, man. I market live events. So maybe I get people to buy tickets.
I don't think that everybody out there listening might know that because I don't know if we ever covered this.
It's true.
Yeah, you do. You are in marketing. In fact, I'm staring right now at one of the books that you gave me on King Tut when the King Tut tour hit Chicago, which was amazing.
You betcha. You betcha. Yep. That among other products and properties in the portfolio over the years. And yeah, I've kind of made my way in the world selling tickets to events.
And let me just say, who would have known that, I mean, you gave me this book like 15 years ago, who'd have known that my table in my basement would be perfectly lopsided where that book would come in handy just right under that table. And this thing sits solidly now.
That's
before,
awesome.
Drinks
man.
Used to fall off it. Now, thanks to King Tut, this thing's working well, man. You can sit on there, lean on it, all confidence in the world, and you're good to go.
See, I'm there. You know what? And I knew that before I gave it to you. I thought to myself, this thing is really going to balance out Ron's coffee table.
Yeah. I'm worried that I was thinking it might slide out from under it because it's so brand new and shiny. I don't think anyone's ever opened it up, but it's not. It's sitting there. It's fantastic.
It's never been cracked open, huh?
It's got one job, and it's fucking doing it. It's working overtime, baby.
That's awesome, man. Well, I'm glad it's there for you and will continue to be. That's awesome.
You know? Thank you.
So back to the self-deprecating story, right? So even in light of the fact that I have a tenured career that provides a healthy amount of revenue income, I am a fucking financial disaster, man.
Yeah.
I could not finance a piece of fucking chewing gum, okay? I recently, about 2 weeks ago, I'll have you know, I had a phone call from Aaron's Rents. And I don't know if you know Aaron's Rents. It's kind of like a rent-a-center. It's where people that don't have money go to get appliances on credit, okay?
Okay.
Well, I had financed our washer and dryer over here.
Okay.
And Aaron Rents called to let me know that after a year and a half, I'm now the proud owner of our fucking washing machine. Okay.
Dude, that's amazing though. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's fantastic.
Thank you very much. Now
when you finance, did you get that no interest 12 month zero APR thing? Is that what you did? No.
No, okay. I didn't. No, so I was went ahead and like paid 18 that. Points on that.
Wow. Thing. And why did you go to Aaron's and not go to Best Buy?
Well, Ron, did you
Best
hear what
Buy
I said a moment
ago? Best
Buy
offers the 12 to 18 month interest free financing. You could have owned it for the actual price instead of the markup.
Well, I think what you have to have in that scenario, though, is I think they do what's called a credit check. And so you have to have some meaningful credit. In other words, people go to Aaron's Rents when they can't finance a stick of chewing gum like myself.
Gotcha. Right? Okay.
So what you end up doing is you end up paying like 18 points a month on, I probably ended up paying like $3,000 for that washer and dryer. Okay. Jesus. Yeah. So man and I got hitched and I decided, you know what, Ron, it's time to rebuild the old credit.
There you go. That's good thinking, man.
Thanks, man. So I go online and I start looking at different options. Find out that one of the ways to do it is to get a credit card or two. So I go online, I apply for a Capital One credit card, and one other one, Visa Direct or something. Which, by the way, if you're in my credit class, you have to pay up front to even get the credit card to be authorized, and then I have a whopping limit of $250 on each of the cards, okay?
Wow.
Okay, but the notion of it is that over time, you start building your credit by putting charges on it and then paying the charges, right?
Yep.
Well, there's a monthly service fee of $19 just to have the fucking credit card. Hmm. Well, I actually had a counter result to it because I fucking forgot about it and missed two payments. So now my $250 credit card has actually brought down my credit score.
Have you called the credit card company, asked them just to waive that, those two missed payments?
Oh, there ain't no waiving it, brother.
You'd be surprised.
No, that's mercenary.
You'd
they
be
call
surprised.
Me.
Okay.
If you miss a payment, they call you about every 15 minutes. But wow. Because I don't recognize the number, I just keep sending it to voicemail. Finally, I checked it, and it's like, this is credit financial calling you about your 45-day delinquent service fee. Please return our call at your earliest convenience.
Yeah, I think the best move you can make right now is just call them irate and say that you never applied for this card. Someone did it in your name. They're sending you the bill, and you want this off your record right now. This is bullshit.
You know what? Maybe I'll do that, and I'll record it, and I can play it back for the audience next
Yeah,
week.
Go ahead and do that. Just try it. What we get to lose?
Be like, what are you talking about? I never signed up for this.
Say, I never signed up. Why am I getting this bill? I don't even know what this is. I don't have a credit card. This is my name. It's my information. I think I've been hacked. This is bullshit. How much do you actually owe on the cards? You max it out? You maxed out the $250?
On one of them, I think I owe $39. And the other one, I think I owe the full $250.
So you owe $250 plus the finance charges. And then you have another. So you're talking around like a cold $300, something like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Damn.
I know, man.
Can I ask you a question, Brian?
I pushed it right to the limit.
Do you want me to send you $300? I can Venmo you $300 right now and just get this thing over with.
Let's go off air for a minute.
All right.
If you wouldn't mind, that would actually be really helpful.
Brother, you got it, man. I'll send you the $300.
That's awesome, man. I really appreciate it, man. It's just, you know, it's kind of a tough spot right now.
Well, I'm gonna knock down my 20 points down to 10 points. So 330 is what I expect back by next Friday.
Okay, that works. Yeah, that works.
Does that work?
Okay. Yeah, that's a deal. All right, let's go back. All right, man. So anyway, that's where I'm at. Listen, I'm a fucking disaster. You know what? And Amanda and I joke about it all the time because she's really good, man. She is like a very
She strikes me as someone that would be very responsible with money. And she also strikes me as someone that probably keeps a separate checking account than her husband. Is that
Oh, for sure.
Okay. It's because she knows that she's responsible, and maybe her husband is not as responsible. So
I think that's exactly right. I mean, I treat my money like literally. I just found out I got 24 hours to live every single day of my life.
Yeah, yeah. You have to stop doing that, I think, Brian.
Do you?
Yeah, I think at some point you got to stop doing that. You know, I'm not. I think this fucking pandemic knocked a lot of people for a loop, especially with finances, you know, because my home, they called me and the bank was like, hey, do you want to stop paying your mortgage? And I'm like, well, why? They're like, well, because, you know, the pandemic and if you guys have been adversely affected. And I said, well, you know what? I was going to open up a restaurant, but because of the pandemic, I put it on pause. So I basically took about 12 to 14 months off. So I'm like, well, if it can work, they made it so easy. Hey, stop sending us your mortgage payment. It's okay. We'll figure it out after 6 months. 6 months later, I shit you not, they called me back and said, do you want to extend it for another 6 months? So in my head, I'm thinking they're plotting something. They're going to hit me with some big payment at the end. You know, they're going to say, well, now you owe us all the money or you owe us the finance charge, whatever. But they made it very clear. Nope, we're going to do this. And at the end of 12 months, we're probably just going to kick it to the back end. So I've been working on that, which is fine. But the only thing that I forgot about, Brian, was that my taxes were attached to my mortgage payment. So when I stopped paying my mortgage, I stopped paying my taxes. And taxes around here, you know, they're not very cheap where I live, you know. So the mortgage I owe more on, but I'm like, well, it's okay because we're going to figure that out. But the taxes are kind of looking at me like, hey, bro, so we have to pay those motherfuckers.
Oh,
so I'm
shit.
Not. So I share your pain in that sense, you know. I really do. I really do.
Well, you know, that's a really interesting story, and I'll tell you why. Is that we got the same phone call,
mm-hmm.
and the phone call came to me, not Amanda.
Mm.
And as soon as they said, "Do you want to put a hold on your mortgage payments?" I'm like, "Fuck yeah, I do."
Exactly.
You bet. It's more money to party with.
Right.
And when the extension came around, same situation. Do you want to extend? Amanda intercepted that one, and she's like, no, we're not going to extend. We're going to start paying our mortgage again. I'm like, why? She's like, because that's what you do when you have money.
Yeah, I was like, she's smart.
I don't get it. It doesn't compute. What are you talking about?
God damn it. Amanda, good for you. Good for her.
So where would you place yourself, Ron, on the scale of financial responsibility? Are you like burning cash at, like it's the last day on earth, like yours truly? Or are you conservative, or are you somewhere in the middle?
Well, let me give you a couple examples of how I live. Right now, I'm driving a 1999 Jeep Cherokee Sport, four-door, 137,000 miles on it. I've got one pair of shoes.
Just one pair total?
Yeah. And you know
for
how
all events?
I have one pair that I keep in the closet if I have to dress up. And I have a pair of snow boots that can kind of go either way, depending on what kind of pants I wear. But that's what I'm looking at. I have a pair, and they're Allbirds. I don't know if you know about Allbirds, but they are made of recycled material.
No.
So, and then when they go bad, you just recycle them. Anyway, that's what I'm doing. I'm showering about once every 3 days to save on my shampoo. Also keep the water bill down, and let's see what else. So
yeah, that shampoo gets expensive, man.
Yeah, it is the Head and Shoulders Plus. You know, it is.
Oh
yeah. So that.
Well, maybe
plus,
you could downgrade.
I totally can. I think I will. And lastly, I know you know how I told you I lost my guitar pick.
Yeah, that
so,
was tragic.
Yeah, and I had a little small container of Walmart sour cream. Like, it's not Daisies, that's like the name brand, it's like Dozies. So instead of throwing the cup and lid away, I fashioned guitar picks out of the plastic. So instead of having to pay for $4 for a pack of picks, I got them from the sour cream container. So Brian, I think that should paint a little picture of how I live.
That does paint a picture.
Now, if you want to talk about my family and how they live, I couldn't tell you how many pairs of Jordans my 12-year-old has. I don't know. My kindergartner, 6-year-old, is following in those same footsteps. For some reason, we get packages from Amazon every single day delivered on my porch. We go out there and check them. My dogs let me know, and Alexa lets me know when they arrive. So, Brian, I feel like I'm trying to be the one to kind of, like, keep things in order, you know? And I find that when I splurge, I spend more money on like doing shit. So like when people come over, hey, let's get a nice bottle of tequila, let's get some brewskis, whatever, you know, let's order some good food. That's where I put my money. So it's on that stuff like that, you know, you can't put your hands on. It's not tangible. It's just like, you know, it's just like good times, I guess. So, and I'm not crazy. Like, we don't go out that much. So I figure, you know, what the hell, man? But, you know, that's where we are. And I think things are changing for the better right now. I've got my hands on a lease for a restaurant. Hopefully, I think we're going to be opening here as everything kind of opens up with the pandemic.
Nice.
Yeah, man. So we're looking at July, August.
Nice.
Would love to have you and the lady out here and the kids come out here for the opening.
Let's do it,
so
man.
We'll
keep
you
up first class.
We'll keep you see, there you go. See, there you go, Brian. I'm going to suggest a bus ticket. And you're already booking first class with the champagne. And the thing is, we only live 2 hours away. So I don't know why you would spend $9,000 on first class tickets to Chicago. But I see.
That sounds awesome, man.
But I tell you what, I will give you the 15% off friends and family rate when you get here. So you have that to look forward to. Yeah.
That's really generous, man. That's great, and we'll be there, man.
Fantastic.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Based on what you just described, and it sounds like maybe shoes on the other foot at the old Alleman house, where the rest of the family is a little more discretionary with their funds. When you go to the grocery store and you're buying cereal,
yeah,
would you go for the off-brand like Fruity Pebbles, or would you go for, you know, would you buy, you know, those knockoff Cinnamon Toast Punch? Right?
Ooh, yeah. No,
you know,
I'm
the off brands.
Let me tell you what I do. I have a box of Frosted Flakes in my cabinet right now. When that thing goes empty, I buy a box of those Frosted Flukes and I bring it home and I put it right inside that box.
Yeah.
No one's the wiser.
Switch.
Oh, yeah, it's the old switch. So they're happy. They're just eating what they think is maybe like kind of stale Frosted Flakes, not really knowing this is like second tier cereal. Dude, you say 50%. What am I going to tell you?
That's brilliant, man. I love that.
Thank you.
So good stuff, man. Well, that was fun. Thanks for indulging me on my self-deprecation of my shit show.
And listen, at the end of the day, it's only money. You know, you're a smart guy. You're a smart guy.
Can't take it with you, man.
You haven't made it this far by not knowing how to make a buck. I have all the confidence in the world in you. And then there's always cryptocurrency. So flip some cash over into Dogecoin, baby, to the moon.
Well, one final point on that, because you just brought it up that I wanted to share. I've been very honest with Gavin about it, because I'm like, do what I say, not what I do. I said, you know, my retirement strategy, right? Most people have like a Roth IRA or fucking whatever investment accounts and all this, right? And I know that you dabble in the investment market, which is which is cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
My investment strategy and retirement strategy, I consider myself a whale hunter.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. I'm just looking for that one home run idea, opportunity, cash, windfall of cash.
Yeah.
So that's my strategy. And I'm still on the hunt.
Have you contacted Hallberg Industries, by the way? Because I think I think that's been like a 45-year plan over there.
Yeah, I'm sure he is still ideating. He's in the lab, right over
there. I'd be surprised if he were not. Yeah, absolutely.
He had some brilliant ones, man. Like the snow code cover.
Oh my god! Yeah. Listen, I don't want to get into that stuff. This could be copyright protected. But if I were you, I think I'd put more emphasis on Gavin. Put more heat on him. He's got to go pro in something.
Totally. Yeah,
he goes pro, and it's all fucking angles. Worth it. Then we look back on this and we laugh.
Yeah,
because Gavin's pro.
I'd be like, listen, man, we had it all figured out.
We're sitting there. We're right behind the dugout watching the Yankees. Gavin's on the Yankees now, and we're just sitting there. And you and I got two hot dogs, one in each hand. That's how fucking made we're gonna.
You know
be.
What I just noticed, man? You quickly edged your way into my fortunes here. Right? You said,
"Well, I've been there for a long time." You know, Gavin knows me by name. I don't know if he knows my last name, but knows the first name. And I think I've you know, fit a little spot there. Well, I'm not entitled, but I feel like, you know, it's you probably owe me a little something.
We'll see. All right, just back off. You figure out your own retirement strategy.
Well, you know what? I mean, if you and I used to break dance together in my backyard, so I don't know anyone else I could say that about.
That's true. That does carry something. That has some value.
There we go. Yeah. My wrist is still a little sore from that night.
Yeah, I don't think that was from the breakdance.
So you know what? I think that what we just did right now. If you think about this episode right now, we still have something to go, but we kind of came full circle on the tone. We started off kind of fun, then we kind of went down. Now we're having fun again.
Yeah, it's an emotional ride.
It reminds me of the Brady Bunch. You used to watch the Brady Bunch?
Oh, fuck yeah, I did. I was a big fan of Marsha.
Yeah. Oh, Marsha, Jan, Alice.
Remember tell you I hooked up with Marsha?
Did you really? The original one or the remake?
Both.
Damn. See, look at you.
Little menage a trois.
Look at you. And then Sam just bringing home the salami to Alice every once in a while. Give her those free tastes of the meat. What I used to love about the Brady Bunch is that you'd start off every episode, everything's upbeat. You know that song that they play, like ba da 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 da. And then throughout the show, something would happen. Cindy would lose her doll, or like Jan would get her fucking period, and then be like,
or Peter would go back into the fucking math, right?
Yeah, Peter's in the fucking street doing math.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the show, it's like. Lesson learned.
And everyone's happy again.
Except that time they went to Hawaii. That was a two-parter. And that fucking kind of freaked me out. The little idol. Remember the idol that was like bad luck?
No, I don't think I saw that episode.
All right. Well, you know what? You're not a true fan. Anyway.
Was it a very special Brady Bunch?
No, that was like the Christmas episode. And that was the one, I think, where Peter got hooked on meth. And then the dad came out of the closet, but then no one saw, so he jumped back in.
I'm going to tune into that, man. It's got to be on the YouTuber or something.
I would think so.
Yep. Yeah, well, I agree, man. It's been an emotional roller coaster this episode. We've been up, we've been down, and I think just to stay on the upswing on this, let me dive into this next topic, which is really just a question for you about.
Go ahead.
When you're, I'm going to find
a yes
out
or no, or is this like an open ended?
It's
a, yes
it's
or no.
It's
going to
be kind of open ended.
Fantastic. Okay.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to put some work in here.
Good.
Whenever you go to a public space, whether it be an event, a restaurant, I don't know, the airport, doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I alone in thinking that there's nothing more awkward or uncomfortable than using the bathroom facilities next to somebody else? Like, in other words, if you've got to do your business, you got to take a dump, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you find it odd if there's someone sitting next to you? Or is that just me?
You know what? This goes all the way back, I think, to being like an elementary school or something. Like, I never wanted to take a shit, like, in public.
Right.
You know, like, peeing's okay. That's fine. Whatever. We can
it's
just,
a little weird to me.
Especially,
I think.
Well, I mean, for guys, like, we can just go around the side of the house and, you know, go up to a fence, whip it out, whatever, go behind a tree, it's fine, it happens, whatever. I don't give a shit about taking a leak, but just the act of pooping it somewhere else, it's not my home, it's just a little foreign. Yeah, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it's odd, right? And I mean, is there anything more uncomfortable than sitting 4 feet away from a complete stranger where you're taking a shit? Right, and he's doing the same thing.
Totally.
You can like hear him like sweating and making noises. And you're like, this is fucking awkward. I don't even know this person, and I'm doing the most personal of events 4 feet away from this guy.
I think it's because you and I both are like a little bit. We have like that courtesy to us. Like, I wouldn't want to like blow it up next to someone and kind of like gross them out, you know. But I've been like at an airport where like, you know, I don't want to have to get on a plane uncomfortable. Let me just knock this out before we take off. And there's guys in there just fucking letting it rip,
right,
man. Just, I mean, grunting.
Yeah.
Just, and it just sounds disgusting.
It's fucking
it's
awkward.
Gross. And of course, I don't really, I'm not going to put it on. Like, when they leave, I'm not going to say, oh man, that was, that, you know, that really grossed me out. I'm just going to let them be. So, which is what people would do to me as well. But I just don't do that. I try to just like, ugh, it's weird.
Well, the other
know,
part
man.
That's weird is like, okay, you said, you know, when you're taking a leak and you walk into the bathroom and there's like the lineup of urinals, right? And if you're standing right next to a guy, then you've got to just, you just deadlock your eyes straight forward, like with blinders on, right? Because you can't like look side to side, because if you accidentally make eye contact with the guy, that's fucking weird.
It is, unless you're asking about his shoelaces. If he's got really cool shoelaces, he's like, hey, man, I've never seen anything like that before. You mind if I ask you
where'd you get those?
Yeah.
Or what if somebody, has this ever happened to you where someone will lean over and be like, nice?
Yeah, it's happened before, man. And then you have to return the favor and be like, oh, thank you. Same
here. You're not bad either.
Right, there you go.
Anyway,
but you know
sidebar.
What? Speaking of public spaces, is there anywhere more uncomfortable than fucking Walmart?
Oh, it's
like
the worst.
Why do I feel like when I go to Walmart, my fucking intelligence is, I'm just like dumbed down by like 40%. I have to dumb everything down for the people that shop
Walmart.
There, the people that work there. When I'm looking for shit, okay, where would this be? It is. In fact, that's where I was this morning. I had to run there to get a gift card for one of Eddie's friends,
thanks,
whose birthday
man.
Party
oh,
is.
Never mind.
And it was fucking ridiculous.
There's nothing worse than Walmart, man. And every like, I wish I'd probably be disgusted to know how much time I've spent out of my entire life stumbling the aisles at Walmart looking for stupid shit.
It just makes me stupid. Like, I forget where things are. I turn to that guy that zigzags the store. Instead of having that GPS plan, you go in. Okay, I got the veggies, got the fruit, got some bread, got some cheese, got the eggs. I end up going, got to get a gift card. Now I have to go get a fucking loaf of bread. Now I have to go back to the fucking stationery department and get a goddamn birthday card. I'm stupid when I go in there. It's ridiculous. There's guys in there, their ass cracks hanging out. Women in there in their fucking slippers and their pajamas shopping. Workers on their cell phones, not even paying attention. What's going on? It's crazy. But I go there because I'm fucking saving money, Brian.
Yeah, and that's where you can get the frosted flukes.
That's why my wife goes to Target and I go to fucking Walmart.
You suck it up for the team, man.
I do.
That's impressive. All right, Home Slice. Listen, good chopping it up as always. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Happy Mother's Day.
And we'll talk
Thank
to you
for listening.
All right.
Later.
We out.